Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to the show, folks. This is Nate. I'm kind of taking the reins here because Alon lost his voice.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, there you go.
I got to force it out. La, 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 la.
Yes, and it's going to be a very interesting show.
Oh,
I can tell you.
Yeah.
I believe we have Julie on the phone somewhere.
Hi, Julie.
Hey. Hi. Alon, I'm sorry you lost your voice. You're going to have to be like Penn, or no, Teller. Who's the one that shuts up?
Teller.
Teller.
You're
going
to be Teller today, I guess.
I'm sure you're terribly disappointed.
No, I like hearing you chatter.
Oh, boy, that's so nice of you.
Dad. You got to do your radio show voice, because that was working before.
Hey, everybody, this is Alon.
Works great.
Let's start the show. Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Yes, so basically we don't have an interview this week, which is shocking, because we've had one for, like, ever.
Every week now.
So we were going to kind of go around and talk about what games we've been playing and stuff like that.
That's how we used to actually start the show.
Yeah.
What we've been playing lately.
Alon and I, we've been playing not a whole lot. God of War.
It's pretty much
has been it.
Ruling our lives,
yeah.
Basically.
Well, I'll tell you what I have been playing. I'm actually working on a review for Hardcore Gamer magazine on the new game from Atari, which is called Indigo Prophecy. Over in Europe, it's called Fahrenheit 9/11. But here in the States, it's called Indigo Prophecy. It's really interesting. Have any of you guys picked that up? It's really interesting. Actually, it's not out yet, so you couldn't have picked it up because only special people like me get it before it comes out, because I get to do little
reviews. We're special, right?
It is made by Atari, though, so you probably don't have to be that special.
Oh, come on now. Playing on Atari, how dare you?
Oh, you know what? I'm an old-school Atari lover, but, you know, then it was Infogrames, and now it's Atari, and they have yet to prove their worth, earn people's respect again.
Well, I'll tell you what, this game is actually really cool, Indigo Prophecy, so when you come over to my house next week, I will give you a little sneak preview.
Excellent.
Ooh.
It is. I don't know if I'm allowed to do that, but I figure you guys are.
Well, I'm glad you told it over the air.
You guys are legal. Yeah.
Make sure you tell the world and then put the game in the hands of other media journalists.
No sneak preview for you guys, but I'll tell you a lot of cool stuff about it. And for our viewing audience, you guys can check out the game on, I believe it is indigoprophecy.com, if I'm not mistaken. It's a really cool game. It's very, you know, it's kind of like a movie for your PC. It's very. It's like, you remember when you were little and you used to read those Choose Your Own Adventures?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Turn to page 85. Oh, no, I died. Now I got to hunt for, like, page something or other. Where
exactly.
Did I go to?
Yeah, it kind of like, has that kind of a feel to it, only way cooler. So, but it's a very good game. So that's what I've been playing.
So here's a little trivia for you. Do you have any idea why it's not called Fahrenheit 9/11 here in America?
Hello, 9/11.
Well, there's something else in the media called Fahrenheit 9/11, and that's Michael Moore's book, which
right.
is like, yeah, this movie's not called Fahrenheit
9/11.
Yeah,
States,
it is. They're both are, aren't they?
Oh, it's the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fahrenheit 9/11 is Michael Moore's movie, which is so controversial. Also, if you say the words 9/11 in America, people just start having little fits. They have like little seizures in the mall. You just go to the mall and say 9/11, and people just, oh my gosh, what'd you say?
You know, I was just watching. I watched a lot of Fox News today, and now normally we don't get too political. But I hate Fox News just because it is so rightist. But I was watching it all day because it turned out I didn't even realize it. I woke up this morning and started watching, and I was on the news. And so that was pretty crazy for another project I did, the 10MPH project. But anyway, so I was watching it all day, and apparently there's a bunch of movies coming out based on 9/11.
Mm.
I don't know if anybody cares.
Oh, no. I've heard about it. There's a bunch of movies coming out, and they're supposed to have unseen footage of people jumping from buildings and on fire and all this gruesome stuff that you've never seen, and oh, we so want to see it, so thank you for making it.
But the reason you should watch Fox News is to see me on the 10
well,
MPH movie, which
was you're
which
not
was
really
shown today.
Well, they show clips of you. You're not actually on Fox.
Oh, I was totally on today.
Fox if you say so.
All right, let's talk about games. So Indigo Prophecy is your game of choice at the moment?
That is my game of the hour. That's my flavor of the week.
All right, I'm still probably only like 20% through God of War. So.
Yeah, well, you keep restarting because you like fall asleep, and then all that. I'm not playing where you guys left off. So
yeah, I've played through the entire save that we have so far.
All right.
So what else? There are some other things you want to talk about that sort of go back a couple weeks.
Right? Me? Oh yeah. Sorry, I'm not even paying attention.
He's picking his nose. He's just like,
I'm looking at my shoes. You know, what am I doing with my life? Anyways, so you can tell by how old this is. So this past Tuesday, the anti-game protesters, the Pizzaholics, because they're addicted to Pizza Hall, apparently, they were all out there with their good friend Jack Thompson to march out on Take Two with some issues and outrageous demands. One of them was to not release Bully, which was kind of stupid because the game hasn't really been finished, so they can't really release an unfinished game.
Yeah. Now, when did this actually happen? It wasn't really
It wasn't past Tuesday. I want to say like 3 weeks ago.
It was a long time ago. It was after we did the interview.
Just like that next Tuesday after our interview.
Yeah, so we're looking at like August 2nd.
August something. Yeah, earlier this month.
3 weeks ago this happened.
Yeah.
All right, keep going. What were their demands?
All right, so that was the first one. Then they wanted to make them volunteer to sell their violent and sexually explicit game in adult video stores only. And I like how they used volunteer because really they have no say because any store can sell anything they want. You know, it's...
Well,
not anything. I mean, there's not going to be a crack aisle at Walmart anytime soon. But, yeah, like I said. The other one was let parents return Grand Theft Auto for a full refund. And then they were supposed to do, like, a national awareness campaign to educate parents on possible effects of their nasty game and all that good stuff. I kind of think that would never happen, and it probably won't. Really, the big, really stupid one that I saw was they wanted to create a fund for victims of unauthorized use of motor vehicles and carjackings and et cetera.
What?
So you're saying start up a fund to give money to people who are carjacked?
Yeah, because, as you know, carjackings never happened until Grand Theft Auto came out.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I'm right with them on that one.
I mean, I jacked up two cars today just because of the game. It's really bad.
I just heard of the game, Grand Theft Auto, when I stole a car to drive to the store and buy it. So
I rented a prostitute. That's how I celebrate.
And then you killed her to get your money back,
yeah,
right?
That's how I celebrate.
Another one was that they wanted to make a national apology for misleading and lying to children. Kind of BS right there.
Well, that's what their lawsuit is based on.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I understand all these parents being really concerned. And yes, it's not too cool that there's like this pornographic, you know, hidden level or whatever in the game. But, you know, when you look at it, honestly, have a sense of humor. That's just damn funny.
Well, that's
how,
yeah, that's,
money back,
I think,
that's
how any normal
funny.
Person would it see
just,
it.
You know, anybody that has any kind of sense of humor is going to look at this and be like, yeah, it's a little over the top, but it's a mature-rated game. Don't buy it for your kid, but buy it for yourself. Go have a good time with it. I mean, just the fact that this stuff is... I mean, I cannot look at a newspaper without seeing something about Grand Theft Auto lately.
The irony here is that...
It's like, what?
You know, last week, Slashdot was running a story or referring to a story about how parents don't even pay attention to the ratings.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's sort of double-edged, because for one, it helps us, because say, oh, well, parents don't really care, so it's their fault, not the industry's. But on the same hand, it's like, well, you know, if they do care, well, they're not getting the right information. I don't know. I think they are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's clearly labeled. I mean, they're not hiding it. You know?
Yeah, not for grandmas.
Yeah.
They have a hard time reading those labels.
They do.
Well, the bottom line is, if your kid's running out, you know, killing prostitutes and stealing cars, there's something else going on besides the video game he's playing. You did something wrong while you were raising your kid, and that's the bottom line. And no parents want to take responsibility for the fact that maybe they weren't great parents. It's always got to be blamed on the music and blamed on the video game. And, you know, I mean, of course these things are bad influences if used in totally improper ways, but we have, you know, we have censorship, we have rating boards, and... I just think everything's so blown up, and I honestly, it makes me nauseous. I'm like, come on, lighten up.
You know, that's what we thought, and we talked about that too. Even with Jack, I think we brought that up. But you know what? Andrew's pointing to me. He's telling me that we got an important caller on the line. So we got someone important on the line, is our audio up, Andrew? Is everything working? All right. So who's this?
Jack Thompson.
Oh my God, Jack! I didn't expect to hear from you at all. Well, thanks for calling. What did you want to tell our listeners, buddy?
Hey, Nate.
Hey, Jack. Good to hear from you. I have a funny feeling you called for a reason. Was there something you wanted to say, maybe?
I'm out to destroy Rockstar.
Holy crap. Jack, you know, I don't think this is the right place for you to be, you know, saying stuff like that. This isn't exactly the friendliest crowd here at Chatterbox.
You need to relax. Jack Thompson's going to destroy the video game industry.
Whoa.
Jack, I really think you are the one who needs to relax, buddy. It's, is that really the reason you called in?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh my God. Did you hear that?
That's very big of him to say that.
Apology accepted, Jack. So, that's not why you called today. So you're not really out? You're not out to destroy the industry?
I flat out lied about it.
Really?
Did you hear that, everybody? This is huge news! I almost can't even believe it. Did I hear you correctly, Jack?
You're not listening. What I said is that I'm collaborating with the porn industry to have live sexual intercourse on network TV with Hillary Clinton.
Holy crap!
Oh my god! Sounds like you really turned around on this whole censorship thing. I'm afraid that might be a little bit too extreme, though, you know, even for our listeners here at Chatterbox.
Let's end with this.
I'm sorry, did I say something to upset you? That's not what I meant to do. Maybe you're worried about something you've said in the past, Jack.
I'm not being opportunistic. I'm of Scottish ancestry. I'm a sociopath sitting around in a kilt sipping single malt whiskey, spreading racial hurtful stereotypes in this country.
Jack, that's strange of you to say, buddy.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going to end this call right now because it's getting a little too controversial
for
us.
Yeah, I don't want him, you know, dropping some F-bombs, so I should wrap this up.
We like to keep things casual here, so thanks for calling.
My pleasure.
Oh, it was really nice of him. Wow, can you believe that, Julie, that he called in?
Jack Thompson.
That's some amazing fun audio that we had.
That's right.
That's a good time. So hopefully we'll get nailed a lawsuit next week. What do you think, Andrew? Andrew's shaking his head, definitely.
We should point out that may or may not have been heavily edited.
That was a really good phone call, though. I think we should do that again next week.
Definitely.
All right, we're going to go to break, and we'll be back with much more of me being off key.
That's right.
And out of control.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technologies graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Welcome back. You can always reach us at 602-277-3569.
Oh, it's 5369.
5369, is it?
Yeah.
Man, I'm bad today. Or you can call us toll free at 866-536-1100. That's right. Is it?
Yes, that is right. Us, by the way, means Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
That's right.
Alon, Nate, and Julie.
That's right. I'm so bad at this. I had like a couple seconds prepare, as
it's
always.
Nate's first time here.
Yes. Where are we again?
He's the 22-year-old radio virgin.
That's right. So, you want to go to school, get in games, go to UAT, because they have all that kind of stuff for you. And you can go to uat.edu and find out all that good stuff. So, I don't know, I wanted to talk a little bit, being that I'm going to be talking a lot today, apparently.
Yeah.
The Washington Post reported a study released by the American Psychological Association. Now, they're saying exposures to violent video games increases aggressive thoughts, behaviors, and angry feelings among youth.
But specifically does not say that it encourages people to act out those feelings.
Yeah.
All right.
But this kind of contradicts a study done, I believe, like 5 days earlier, done by Dimitri Williams, a professor at the University of Illinois, saying that violence in games doesn't really prompt players to project violent tendencies into the real life.
See, that's what we're getting at.
Yeah, and I tend to want to agree a little bit more with the guy from the university than from the association that's strictly out to kind of say that games are bad.
Well, see, my point is that maybe they're not so contradictory. That they say, you know, one says you think more about the violence, right? But then the other says it doesn't really matter because
you're not
going to do anything. You're
not doing
about
anything.
It.
I guess they have a little synergy going on there. A little hand in hand.
It all depends how you want to look at it.
Yeah. And then this also kind of ties in. The BBC last week ran a story on Bully and all the damage it does and it's potentially going to do. And Miss Carnell, apparently she runs like some clinic for kids or whatever. So there was an. It was impossible to underestimate the effects of bullying and that people suffer the effects well into adulthood. We are contacted up to 4 children a day who are suicidal, and many, many more who have suffered injuries and trauma due to bullying. Now, I'm no psychologist, but I would think reenacting their bullying at home, where they win, say through the use of a PC or a console, that maybe they won't let it fester and grow, so they could, you know, deal with it rather than kill people.
It's a release.
Yeah.
Julie, were you ever bullied in school?
They used to call me Gopher Stouffer.
Gopher Stouffer?
Gopher Stouffer.
Because my teeth were a little bit larger than the average child. My last name is Stouffer. You get the idea.
Right on.
I don't know. I think that bullying can definitely be hurtful. I don't really understand the connection they're trying to make.
Did you have any weird social mechanics going on in the real world where you had to deal with bullying?
Oh, you know what? I feel like we get bullied by the producers on the real world more than we bully each other. So that's a whole different deal. I mean, reality television is just...
I don't remember your episode. I don't remember your real world thing from years ago because it was so long ago, but I remember reading some forums recently. Didn't you get in fights with some girl or something, or is that on one of the newer Inferno things?
I've been on a lot of shows, and people are always getting... I mean, that's the thing about reality television is you get in fights, and sometimes the fights aren't even that bad, but by the time they're edited and you put Rage Against the Machine in the background, it seems like this terrible fight. So, you know, I mean, I don't really recall any fights that were that terrible, but I mean, I guess I did get into arguments with people.
I bet that if you played Bully, you'd be able to kick better ass.
Oh, for
yeah.
Sure.
Well, you'd learn something.
For sure. Did you guys see the movie The Island?
Oh, yeah. Total ripoff, by the way, of a 70s movie called Clonus.
Right.
The Clonus Horror, something like that.
Right, I know exactly what movie you're talking about. But The Island, I actually thought the movie was amazing. And do you recall the part, I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about, when they're doing the virtual boxing...
Oh, yeah,
with the Xbox logo. So
apparently, them and Cisco Systems are doing very well in the future, and I'm glad to see that.
So, yeah, I can't wait to get one of those systems for my house so I can do some virtual kicking of ass.
It's Microsoft's version of the PS9.
That's right.
Okay, so speaking of Microsoft, this is a good segue into the 360
that's
stuff.
That's right.
Yeah, let's talk about next gen.
Yeah, well, this is what's been going on this week. It's the big news lately. It's people have sort of gotten away from Jack Thompson's talks about the 360.
Actual stuff in like of more importance,
right.
I would assume. Stuff that's an old, anyways.
Exactly.
Not so stale.
So we probably all know, and if you don't know, listener, you should now know, that the Xbox 360 is going to be released in two forms, right? You can get either the $300 version, or the $400 version, otherwise known as the one you should buy.
Yes.
I'm sort of curious, Julie, what are your feelings on this? What do you know about it so far?
Well, I do know that my Xbox broke yesterday, and so I don't think they can release it fast enough. you know, I mean, I think it's good that, in some respects, being the first next-gen console coming out, I mean, there's good things and bad things about that, and I think that it's probably a smart move to have a, you know, weaker system for those people that really just want bang for their buck. I mean, that's how Nintendo survived all these years. Because, I mean, Nintendo's a great system, but they are kind of the most bang for your buck. And if you don't have a lot of money, you go out and you buy GameCube. And I think that there will be a large population that just wants an Xbox and doesn't want to drop four. But you know what? In my world, the difference between $300 and $400, I mean, why wouldn't you buy the $400 one?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
But
you're already dropping $3. You might as
well
go all the way.
They gave the prices of some of the peripherals, and if you get the $299 version, you'll get a hard drive. Now, a hard drive is $99. $99.99, in fact. So, really, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot buying the $299 version from my standpoint.
Well,
right.
And here's my point, because Jay Allard, the big Xbox PR guy, he's saying that the $300 version is for the people who just need to get in and they're on a budget and whatever. But that's bull, because the $400 version is really the one that provides the value, because you get all the peripherals for less money than if you bought them separately. Not only that, you can do all the stuff. Like, they talk about the $300 version expanding the market to people who might not normally buy the system, but they also say that casual games are expanding their market. But you know what? You can't play casual games on the $300 version, because they're all on the hard drive downloaded over Xbox Live Arcade.
That's right.
That's true.
So there's so many things you can't do with a $300 version, and those are all the things that they're trying to expand the market with. So everything he's saying about making it available to people who might not normally access it, it's completely contradictory to the theme of the hard drive and their expanded content, which is what I'm finding very hard to deal with.
Yeah.
Do you think Microsoft might be freaking out because they don't know what the price tag is going to be on the other next-gen consoles, and what if they price it wrong because they're the first ones coming out? What if they price it wrong and all of a sudden get? I mean, do you think that's a factor?
No. Here's exactly what's going on.
They're trying to get the most money, I would figure.
Well, you'll recall, hopefully, that when the Xbox came out, there were a lot of stores actually told by Microsoft that you have to sell it with, you know, so many peripherals or accessories, or we're not going to give you these systems. Like, we're going to give you, you know, this system and this video cable and this many controllers and whatever, and you have to sell them together because otherwise they're just not going to sell. And I don't know, they were placing restrictions on what you could sell, which is the bottom line. And what this does is it absolutely forces people to buy all those accessories together, which, again, like, it does present a better value, but it means we're plopping down $400. And so the $300 system is simply, honestly, their way of going to PR and saying, hey, we've got a $300 system. We didn't raise the price. PS2 didn't have a network adapter, didn't have a headset, didn't have a wireless controller. We're releasing the same thing now. The difference is that their system is based on all of those extras. And so really, the $400 one is the system you should have. And they're releasing the $300 just so they could say that they did. That's what I think. Anyway, we got to go to break, and you guys can argue with me about that in just a minute. Don't forget to give us a call at 866-536-1100 if you have something to chime in about.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
Welcome back to the show. As always, you can reach us at 602-277-5369. Apparently, I'm amazed we got a caller after I totally...
On the ball.
That's what we're... Or toll-free at 866-536-1100. Wow.
Pounded in a couple times.
That's right.
All right. So we also have Julie on the line. I'm Alon. That's Nate. Julie's with us. And we've got a caller, Wes from St. Louis. What can we do for you, Wes?
Hey, I just wanted to know, you were talking about the Xbox hard drive or the 360 hard drive or no hard drive options.
Yes.
And I wanted to know what your opinion is on them splitting the market between having some people with a hard drive and some people without.
Well, I don't think it's really going to be like that eventually, because I'm assuming most developers are making games gearing towards the fact that there will be a hard drive on the system. So
here's my concern.
All right.
If you'd like to hear it.
I'd love to hear it.
I don't know, Nate. You sounded like you were giving me an opening there. So a lot of developers are going to be used to the original Xbox and want to build for the hard drive. But then other ones are going to be forced by Mr. Accountant Man to make it work very well without the hard drive, or to concentrate on not having the hard drive because they want to expose their game to the largest possible market. And so I think all it's going to do is detract from the games by forcing them to work, you know, with a lower denominator of not having the hard drive. And it's... But eventually, I think everyone's going to have it because they're going to realize it's a dumb move. So that's how I feel.
Yeah, I kind of think most everyone's going to have it, but I think, yeah, they're going to be forced not to make games work with it. Bethesda has mentioned that they're not happy about Microsoft not including a hard drive with everyone. But they've also said that the new Morrowind, what's it called?
Elder Scrolls.
Oblivion.
Yeah.
That game... is not going to require it, but they might throw in some bonus stuff if you do have it.
I can't understand how that game would not require a hard drive.
Yeah.
with the streaming worlds and just the intense save data that's required for that game.
Well, the thing that I don't understand is why don't we just have a smaller hard drive? I mean, we don't need 20 gigs. If you're trying to save some money, we could put a hard drive in there that was just, you know, not as large.
Because yeah, not really.
Well,
the difference between a 20 gig and a 5 gig hard drive is like less than $5.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Basically a bottom line.
Well,
as far as the cheapest you can get.
Because what they're talking about basically is they have a cheaper console so that the people can benefit from the higher quality graphics and get new games, but not have to pay for, you know, if they don't want to have. I mean, some people only use the hard drive for just, you know, the necessary game saves. So maybe that's an option. It just seems silly just not to have any hard drive.
Well, their solution to that is allowing memory cards. And
yeah.
The memory cards are going to be large, like 64 megabytes, which is large enough to do a lot of stuff.
Right.
But
they've already mentioned the PS3 is not going to have a hard drive, for sure.
Well, exactly.
And if you think about what Xbox games use a hard drive, there really aren't that many. It's basically only exclusive stuff. Because you can't really make a game that, hey, we use the hard drive on the Xbox and we don't on everything else. It's got to be the same kind of across the line to minimize development costs.
Well, now, so, if you read the Jay Allard chat transcript on MajorNelson.com, which actually was just done today, he talks about how there are some games that are not exclusive to the Xbox that do use the hard drive for special features. And he referred to Tony Hawk and some other games. I can't remember them all. So I wouldn't say that that's across the board, but it's only exclusive games that use it. But also the Xbox opens up the possibility of just like every single game you can have a personal soundtrack. It's a requirement now on the Xbox 360. Some features like that are ones that just would make the 360 stand out by having the hard drive for everybody.
You know, you don't need a hard drive to do that.
You can do that on the memory card?
No, you swap your iPod in it and you can do it from there.
All right, okay, well,
oh,
I like that.
That's a good idea.
So.
I mean, I can see how some people wouldn't want to pay for that much that much of a hard drive. If I mean, some people don't use it. Some people just don't care. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but like what I was saying before, expanding the market, the hard drive is what allows them to do that. I don't know, Wes, if you heard in the second segment when I was talking about.
Right, that was a really good point I hadn't really thought of.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't even mention the fact that you can't play Xbox One games, which is a, you know, a big hurdle for them. They're talking about how important it is to do. You can't do that unless you have the hard drive. So every single thing that has to do with expanding the market, every single factor is all based on having the hard drive. And
yeah.
Well,
and
just from a cost point of view, isn't like the memory stick, wasn't like $60 or something like that?
Yeah, it's not that,
it's
that much
not,
of savings.
I mean, yeah, you're not saving a whole lot of money instead of, you know, just,
but
you know, busting your wallet.
There's going to be third-party ones that'll be very, very cheap.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
But if you've worked in a game store, it seems like half the people that come in buy the system without any games or memory cards because it's like, grandparents are like the cheap uncle. They're like, I'll just get the bare minimum and make them pick up everything else.
Well, yeah, or just so that they don't, you know, choose a bad game or something. They want the kid to be able to choose it themselves.
Right, but I mean, those are the kind of people that are going to pick up the core system.
Exactly.
Hardware.
Yeah.
And that's a bigger percentage of the market than like people on the internet and people like. If my mom went in to get me one, she would not give me the $400 one, even if I begged her for it.
I see your point, and that's actually going to screw a lot of people.
Yeah.
I actually
screw a lot of people for Christmas.
I'm willing to bet that they're going to have a split. Something like 75 or 80% of them are going to be the $400 versions because they know that the early adopters, especially for this Christmas, are going to want the real system. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
I kind of figured. See, I was kind of curious about exactly what the breakdown would be of the $299 to $399 systems.
Oh, I'm sure we'll know in 36 days when the next alternate reality game finishes up.
What I'm curious about is they're going to have core systems sitting on the shelves, and there's going to be a shortage. How many people are going to be willing to just get the core and then buy everything separate and front the extra $100 or whatever it is?
That's fine, dude. EB's just going to have a deal where you can buy the hard drive and the headset for $100 and add it to the core
system.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because the reality is what you said, Wes, a lot of people's parents or friends or whoever, girlfriends, are going to go out and buy the $300 system because, you know, for whatever reason, they just know that you can get the stuff in excess later or they just don't understand if it really makes a big difference. I think we'll be surprised. I think a lot more of the cheaper system are going to be sold than we anticipate just because of that. And you're right. EB will put a package together and you can get the same thing for $100 or whatever.
I doubt that, just because they don't... Well, I guess they do make money on those, but that's where they make their money. That's Popper.
Yeah, thanks, dog.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe it'll be 109. Maybe it'll be 120.
Yeah. Wes, was there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
Nope, that's it.
That's it. Mm-hmm. All right, well,
nice
listen,
to talk to you.
Thanks a lot for calling, dude. All right, so, yeah, y'all know my feelings on the 360, and I think, really, any vocal gamer, at least the ones that I've read on our forums and anybody else's forums and any of the people writing the blogs and stuff, they're all basically saying the same thing as us,
yeah.
That the $300 system is not for you or for anyone, really. It should be the $400 one you're buying.
Mm-hmm.
And, Julie, you brought up a good point, too. Go all the way. If you're spending three, why not spend four?
Yeah, it's not too much of a stretch.
Yeah, luckily, I think Microsoft's banking on that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I still don't like the idea that they're pushing it up. I remember when $200 was the price of a system. Nintendo, they know what it's all about. $200.
Yeah.
And now, someone was asking in our forum how much the Revolution's going to be. I still bet it won't go up above $250.
Nope, I don't think so either. Because Nintendo always will keep it like that, and that's how they keep their audience. And that's why I'm wondering what is going to dominate, Xbox or PlayStation, because Nintendo, they hold their own. They do their own thing. It's not between them, you know. I want to know who's going to be buying, because, you know, I'm going to buy both. You guys are going to buy both, but... For everybody else, you know, people out there that don't want both consoles, what are they going to buy?
Well, you know, Microsoft does have the first move advantage. And
first mover.
First mover.
Yeah. You're right. I don't know. And that's what we're all waiting to see. And that's great. But I have a lot of concerns over that $300 version. I think it's just silly. Let's move on, though, to bigger and better things.
Are we going to talk about the mugging spree that a guy had on Lineage 2?
I'm wondering if Julie's actually caught wind of this.
Yeah. What have you heard of that?
No.
So a guy in Japan was arrested this week for a mugging spree in Lineage 2. Apparently some people's characters had been beaten and robbed of some valuable virtual property. And thank God no one was killed. We have a murder trial or investigation on our hands if one of those guys would have happened to have been killed.
So yeah, do you catch what happened here? Some guy's playing a game. He's doing what the game allows, which means playing the game, killing someone, taking their stuff. And now he's behind it. Real bars in a real world.
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah. So this is what I'm worried about. If the game allows it, I don't know how anyone...
Well, technically he was, like, breaking, I don't know, the rules. I'm using air quotes right now, just so everyone can tell.
Yeah.
But he was using a bot. So basically he had a little program on his machine that moves way faster than any normal person could potentially, you know, do. So, hands down, he'd win every person he attacked.
Right.
But I'm just waiting to see this. The Constitution of the United States, Amendment Number 377, no using bots.
Yes.
Or you go to jail.
That's freaking hilarious. Well, I heard about the guy that actually went and killed somebody in D&D or something, like, because they took their virtual sword or something.
Oh, that was a great story.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
You know, that's kind of whatever, but I've never heard of somebody actually being indicted for taking a virtual... I mean, that's just funny, actually. I don't.
Well, hey, this isn't just anything. This is it could include the Earrings of Wisdoms or the Shield of Nightmare. So, I mean, if anyone has seen these items, please contact the Japanese police. They can get it to the right people.
Contact the authorities.
That's right.
Serious business over there, though. They don't joke around.
It is.
Yeah.
But, like, this sort of bleeds into another point that I wanted to make, that there was another story recently talking about in EverQuest 2. Right. This game we were just talking about was Lineage 2, now EverQuest 2. We had mentioned, I don't know how far back in history, like 2 months ago maybe, on Chatterbox, we were talking about how they were going to open up an auction site sanctioned Sony. Right? It wasn't going to be just on eBay. They were going to have a Sony-specific auction site so you could sell the stuff you found or built or stole in the game. And there was a lot of, you know, developer upheaval. Everyone was upset that Sony's allowing this to happen because they feel that it takes away from the gameplay experience. It introduces, you know, the wrong element into the game.
Yeah,
people
a bunch of farmers
the,
and
yeah,
know,
people
they're just stealing reasons. Stuff. Yeah, the wrong reason to play.
Chinese sweatshops running, you know, land farms to make stuff and then sell stuff, which apparently really happens.
Wow.
And so the big concern is, you know, what if something happens? So Sony sanctions these activities, and then someone's sword disappears from the server because of some glitch, right? His sword's worth $1,000, and now he can sue Sony. Right, with a legitimate case. I'm sure it probably has somewhere in there that, like,
that
Sony's
not responsible.
But
yeah.
Still, I mean, you put a certain amount of trust and a certain amount of investment into something, and there's personable, like, a a real reason to believe that you're doing something acceptable because they allow it. And now, apparently some people went and totally hacksawed the system. Made like 70 grand by producing money for free.
They were selling platinum, pretty much.
Yeah,
they were making it.
They just made appear in the game.
Yeah.
And totally screwed anybody else who had platinum because it inflated the price. Anyway, we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Don't forget to call us at 866-536, just like Wes did. We'll be back in a minute.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Welcome back, folks. We're in our last segment. And just to let you know, well, let's see if I can get this right now. Cross your fingers. So, and look at that, I deleted it. So,
you can call us at 866-536-1100 and talk to Nate, because I can't talk.
Yeah. Alon is pretty much gone. Again, if you want to learn about the gaming industry and all that jazz, you can go to uat.edu and learn about that. So, we're back, and I don't believe we're going to talk anymore about the EQ money situation.
I was wondering, Julie, have you ever sold anything from an MMO online?
Never.
Never. See, neither have I, but we all know that I don't even play them.
Yeah,
Nate, on the other hand, was a WoW junkie for a while.
I played Ultima Online for a long time. I didn't really get very far because I didn't play a whole lot, but I did sell a couple stuff, but it was for in-game money. So, I mean, it wasn't that great deal. I got ripped off the first time I did it because I didn't go over and hover over and see how much money. Apparently, when you put, like, 5 coins in, it looks like a big pile of money. And I sold this guy, like, I don't know, Skull Mask or something like that. He was like, ooh, look at all that big pile of money. I'll take that. So I said, okay, and I was like, $5. And he was already gone. So
you got hosed.
I did. I'm very gullible.
Greeny.
Okay, so there are a couple other things going on. Someone in our forums, he visited chatterboxgameshow.com, signed up on the forums and asked us to talk about something specific. A game called Supreme Commander, which is like the...
It's the... Not the true sequel, but Chris Taylor couldn't get the rights to a Total Annihilation. So it's like the...
Sort of sequel.
It's a sequel, but not in name.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways, I've read a little bit about it. I saw a review for it. It looks very interesting. I don't know. Julie, have you seen anything about this?
You know, not really a lot, but trying to remember.
The key point to mention here is that it's a Chris Taylor game. And like Nate was saying during the break earlier,
he hasn't made a whole lot of duds. In fact, he hasn't made any. So
yeah.
I think it's probably going to be pretty good.
His games are pretty much all killer. And so, yeah, I'm not the PC guy. That's Nate. But I can see him frothing at the mouth a little bit for it.
Yeah, I could kind of nerd about, you know, the little things. Like, you can make a nuke and, like, just take out a whole fleet of ships, and it looks really cool. Like, your actual base is actually, like, a mech that builds things in it and shoots out guys. It's very cool.
Here's what we'll do. We'll get Julie on the phone and write another article for Hardcore Gamer.
That's right.
Whatever she's writing for.
Yeah, and give me a copy of it. I will give it a little review.
Yeah, she likes doing that stuff.
But no, I have heard that it's just an awesome real-time strategy. It takes the whole genre just a little bit farther than most people are used to, and I've heard that the vehicles are kind of insane.
Yes, they are. There's some that are huge, like bigly huge for any RTS person.
Like a big spider tank or
something? Yeah, like it pretty much takes up the whole screen if you're zoomed down. It like kills your own units because they're like really tiny, and
right.
It's very, very impressive.
See, and I'd barely even heard of it, so.
Yeah, looks cool. It looks very cool. I mean...
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've played it for hours and hours, but from what I've heard, it seems cool.
It's also not even available yet.
Not yet, so.
All right, so there's some other interesting things that I want to talk about, too. Madden Football, for instance. We all know that Madden Football came out recently to much fanfare. Pretty much if you watch ESPN, that's, I think, the only thing you see on that channel these days.
Pretty much.
Is ads for Madden 2006.
That and GTA San Andreas.
Yeah, apparently. So one of the notable facts about this game is that people keep reviewing it at like the lower than stellar levels that we've come to expect from Madden. And there was a press release from EA. I think it was a press release. At least it looked like one. Basically saying that it sold more than any other Madden game has. So it must be better than every other Madden game. It's, you know, made leaps and bounds in the genre. As the Madden games always do. But it hasn't been doing so well on the review sites. And, you know, I read through one of the reviews today. And really, like, it still says it's a good game. But it was giving it a score of, like, 7.2.
That's average.
Yeah, not for the Madden games.
Yeah.
Madden games usually do better. And one of the things...
Kind of funny how the game's not doing too well after they've locked the deal to only make Madden games through EA.
Well, that's the concern. When we found out that they had exclusive NFL rights, everyone was saying, all right, there's a couple of options. Either, you know, the games aren't as good anymore because they wanted the competition, or the games are... pretty bad because they don't have any competition. So as you can see, the result is that they're not going to try as hard. And so people are wondering now, has that already shown true? Or is it maybe just that since they're dealing with a new generation with the Xbox 360, they're putting, you know, more hope in the next generation than they are in the current generation. And so they're not working as hard in changing the game. But then some things I read sort of contradict that theory and say that, you know, they've actually made a lot of changes. Instead of just, you know, usually the passing game, you press, you know, A or Y or Z or whatever, and you shoot to whatever receiver is designated to that button. And now they have the whole QB control where he has a field of view, and that changes depending on how good of a QB he is, right? He might have a wide field of view so he can access all the receivers, or a thin one because he's not as aware. So he has all these personal attributes and stuff. And so it's trying to create a slightly more realistic, although this review said perhaps less fun, version of the passing game. And so what I'm saying is maybe since they have these exclusive rights, they're trying some new things because they know that people are going to buy it anyway.
Yeah.
I personally think that's good, especially because they left in the option to remove that and play it like you used to play it.
Because no one likes a first-person view other than in a
It wasn't first-person view. It's just a different
style. Is it over the shoulder? Or?
No. It's the same as always, but it gives you this cone, kind of like in Metal Gear Solid, where the guys see a certain – there's a field of vision. And so I say on one hand, it's great that they're trying new things – and I can make the assumption that they're trying these new things or more apt to try new things because they're not going to face the competition that they were in previous years due to the exclusive rights that they have with the NFL. The other side of me says people are complaining that the game didn't make as many improvements as usual. And you could say that's also because they have these exclusive rights. So I'm sort of on the fence. And you know I'm not a big Madden player to begin with, but I'm an EA hater. And so I have to analyze as much as possible.
Why are you an EA hater?
It's the whole taking over the world thing. On the other hand, they've also been some of the best contributors to the Chatterbox show, so I love them because they help us out. But at the same time, they're getting a little too conglomerated. And
a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have noticed that. There's the whole EA spouse, nobody's getting paid over their thing. And then there's the fact that all they produce is, you know, sequel after sequel after sequel.
Right.
But I realized recently that, you know what, Madden, if your life is football and you love a Madden video game, to spend $50 a year on, like, your big hobby is not that big a deal. And so I've become less concerned with, like, the yearly rehash of games because I figure, you know what, even if it's slightly better, it's going to bring you that $50 of enjoyment. That's great.
Yeah.
That's a total reversal from the way I was, like, 4 months ago. I don't know why I started thinking this way. Anyway, do you have any thoughts on this, Julie?
Dude, I can't stand sports games, and I hate Madden. I am so opinionated. I can't get into them. I've tried. I can play freaking Mario Golf. That's about it. I just can't get into it. I just can't. I don't hate EA for any reasons. I don't hate them. I just don't play the games because I don't play sports games. So I have nothing to contribute. Sorry.
No problem. So before we go, was there anything else, Nate, for you? I had a couple of things.
Don't think so. I think I went through my list.
All right. Since we all know I'm a cheap bastard, I want to point out that if you're into Ubisoft, they've got a couple of new games coming out soon. Rainbow Six Lockdown. There's a lot of Rainbow Six fans out there. So if you pre-order Rainbow Six Lockdown, and I don't know if this is from every store, but I actually think it is. Any store that'll take a pre-order, you should be able to get Splinter Cell Pandora tomorrow, which is Splinter Cell 2,
yep.
For free, just for reserving Rainbow Six Lockdown.
Oh, cool.
In addition, next month, they're going to release Far Cry Instincts, which is supposed to be great. We saw it at E3 and it looked good. If you reserve that, you get Rainbow Six 3 for free, the predecessor to Lockdown. So they sort of go hand in hand. Reserve your games, you get a free one. That's a great deal. Anyway, that's the end of our show.
Yeah, that's it.
It's weird. My voice is sounding a little bit better now than it did.
You should have talked more today and it would have got right out of it.
All day you've been telling me to shut up. Anyway, thank you, Julie, for joining us. Next week is going to be a recorded show, but you should definitely listen because it's going to be crazy on your trivia skills.
Oh, crazy.
We're going to be at the Penny Arcade Expo doing a lot of trivia. We got to go. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. We'll be back live in 2 weeks.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.